You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
How's it going, everybody? My name's Dion Morales. I'm your host of the Gold Squadron Podcast, and I want to wish you a Happy New Year. Whether or not you're watching this live or in the future, 2019 is either about to hit or is upon us already. A lot of things happened in 2018 that I want to talk about. First, I want to address the space. We are in a new studio space here for Gold Squadron Podcast, and I thought it would be awesome to reveal it. Thank you to my wife for helping me out getting this all set up. She's amazing. Mrs. Gold Squadron Podcast, Devin Morales, MVP for sure. And to address that, if you have any suggestions for different type of art, because we can swap this art, this is swappable. We also have more space for more. You can always send me those suggestions, as well as if you have art, if you're an artist that you'd like to submit to be put on the Gold Squadron Podcast wall, we can do that too. So last week, I put out a call for the community to tell me what are some major events that happened in 2018, because this year has been a year of ups and downs. Lots of things happened, and I just want to kind of go through some of the, not everything, but some of the major points that hit. Now, we started 2018 in X-Wing First Edition, and To honestly say that it's kind of a perfect storm how the year started. On January 6, 2018 was the Chicago Regional, and this was the event in which Ghost Fen made its public appearance. It was the first time it had been streamed, and this is a bit of a perfect storm when we talk about what's going to progress with the rest of the year. We started with Ghost Fen, this list that was perceived as a really big negative play experience, and I would agree that it was a negative play experience. It was bad for the game, but no shame to players who played it, because your job is to play the best thing when it's available, so no shame there. But that's where we started our year in 2018, was with Ghost Fen. And it just kind of continues from there. We had a couple of system opens. Joe Killingsworth wins San Antonio, and Steven Gonzalez wins Glendale, Arizona. That was the first big win for Ghost Fen. Steven Gonzalez of the Minox. We continue into February with some more system opens. And then we get to March. On March 24th in Birmingham, England, was the largest ever X-Wing event that has ever happened. 500 players show up and play this massive tournament in Birmingham. It's super impressive. It ends up being won by Martin Chivers. And if you look it up on List Juggler, which is still up, I know that first edition is over, but it is still up. It says 499 players. There was two players that had the exact same name. There was a mistake on there. There were 500 players who showed up. And then in April, the campaign against cancer happened. There were events all across the United States and even other parts of the world. Over $34,000 raised for charities that are in the fight against cancer. Absolutely amazing. Then in May is the thing that blew all of our minds. The announcement of second edition. This happened on May 1st. FFG said, oh, we're having this big press conference. They reached out to all the media and said, hey, guys, you're going to want to be here. I unfortunately couldn't be there on the ground floor. And there's a video of me in my office, in my school office, watching the press conference and just being dumbfounded that we actually got this announcement. Second edition hits. And we kind of we're in limbo for a while, so we didn't know exactly at first when was going to be the public release, and players were in a weird spot. The game at the time was already starting to decline a little bit because of some of the super mega hyper combo wing that was happening in X-Wing. You could see that the numbers in a lot of events were shrinking. A lot of local people were saying that their local scene was starting to dwindle. And for a lot of people, when the second edition announcement happened, it tanked even further, not because people weren't excited for second edition, but it was, we were kind of in this place where like, well, what do we do? you're playing first edition with knowing that second edition is coming. So you're kind of in this, it felt for some people a little pointless, including myself. You know, we were trying to, people who were competitive were trying to win system opens, and get into that top eight in order to go to Coruscant, the Invitational, which happens later in the year, in order to participate in the first second edition event. But everybody who was playing, a lot of casual players and maybe mid-tier competitive players, were kind of in a weird spot where they weren't entirely into first edition. You couldn't really be into second edition either because it hadn't come yet. Then at that same weekend, we also hosted the first ever, the inaugural Goldie Awards, and just gave shout outs to a bunch of content creators and people who do awesome stuff for the game. And Lord willing, that's coming back next May. Maybe we're still in the planning phase, but it's in the planning phase. There you go. We're still in planning right now, but that's definitely going to be coming back. It was a ton of fun. And then the final first edition world championship is won by Simeon Della Pina. And that's, you know, that was the punctuation of that season. Then we still had some more system opens. We had the European Championships won by Ben Lee. A couple of other system opens happened throughout the world. And then at Gen Con on August 7th, you know, we know that second edition is happening. We know that there's going to be this big announcement. And I'm there with all my streaming equipment. And we find out that not only are we getting a second edition, but that we're going to end up with seven separate factions at the end, including Clone Wars content. And again, another divide hits the community. Some people are really into the Clone Wars era. Some people hate the Clone Wars era. They say prequels, not for me. Other people are like, I'm all in, my prequel memes. But we can all agree that there was, having something a little bit different does breed excitement in the game. And I know for myself, I'm excited to have the seven factions and see the possibilities that does for the game. Then in September, we have the final first edition event on September 23rd. Dale Cromwell wins Italian Nationals and puts an end to the premier level X-Wing competition. We finally get to October. The Coruscant Invitational happens. At Gen Con, there was pre-releases. We have the X-Wing second edition things in our hands, and we're excited. But before all that, we had the app debacle in September. September 13th, we're waiting for our FFG app. You know, a lot of competitive players have their things already because they got it from people who were at Gen Con, or they, they pre-ordered it. They have it in their hands. We're super excited. We're asking, where's our app? Where's our app? Where's our app? And we get it, and it's broken. Luckily, there's a lot of people in the community, such as Rathios, who were able to compile a lot of the second edition items into a squad builder so that we can get it, as well as remembering his first name, Andre Linz of Launch Bay Next. They both worked really hard on getting their perspective squad builders up to date so that we could build squads, because I know that's a ton of fun to do and put together. And then we get into a slew of community events that were created, and we were super excited about because of the advent of second edition. A bunch of them popped up. Some of them were annual events already. We had the Gold Squadron Classic. We had Crossroads Classic. The Minock Open, as well as a bunch of other events. Tons of awesome things are happening throughout the year. And we have our first win at the Coruscant Invitational at a premier event by Thomas Forstner. And, the year we are in second edition. People are happy, and we start to get a little bumpy around early November. Early November, people are starting to call and say that the meta is solved. We know what's happening. You know, it's Whisper, Soontir, Redline, and that's it. Otherwise, you're losing. And I will admit that it did have some good results. But it was the first points update. I wasn't expecting it to be 100% right at first. And we'll get to when those get updated later. Then November 9th, we get a full Clone Wars announcement. We see the ships that we're getting. We're getting the Delta 7, the V-19, and an updated ARC 170 for the Grand Republic, as well as a Vulture Droid, Sith Infiltrator, and Bilabob, I think that's how that's pronounced, 22 for the the Separatists. There we go. Super fun there. I mean, just that excitement of seeing those ships, that was really great. Then in December, our first system open is won by Stephen Michaels. And on December 13th, we had the worldwide release of Wave 2 with the Resistance and the First Order, getting us up to 5 factions. And yes, there's a lot of things that I didn't talk about in there. But this timeline that I have, this chart, I'm actually going to be posting it in the description of the video so you can see all the things that people have put in. There are winners of events. And if there's anything that you want to add, go ahead, comment on here. I'll get it added because I love having the history of X-Wing documented. That way we can look back at it. It's super fun. We had charity events that happened. We talked about the campaign against cancer. There was also I have it right here. The Nerf Herder Open happened. There's the Target Lock, Hunger. I mean, just tons of events of people using X-Wing as a vehicle to do good, which makes me super happy. And again, if you want to help update the timeline, shoot me some emails. Comment on the Google Doc that'll be in the description of this video once it's uploaded to YouTube, and we can get it on there. I'm looking for winners of events and, you know, charity events that happen, how much money they raised. It's just awesome to see there. As for Gold Squadron Podcast, we're not going anywhere. We've been doing a ton of work and growing and trying to do more and more for the community. And I want to share with you guys some of our plans. We're going to continue our commitment to creating as high quality content as I can with the time that I have available. We're going to try to do more live streams. Of course, we have our Wednesday League Nights. We're doing all the events. Literally every premier event in the United States, I will be there. And that's on top of, like we talked about already, League Nights, any other extra days that I can find to, you know, get some ships on the table, as well as the Hyperspace Trials, and that's a store championship level where I'm going to actually be traveling to some of those in our local area, as well as trying to travel out to a couple of more obscure areas that maybe I haven't visited yet. We're planning on partnering with more content creators to bring you guys more content, combining some powers with some different people and getting more out there for the community. We have a couple of new innovations in the works for live streaming that I am really, really excited about it. I can't give too many details because we're still in the development phase, but super excited about that. And when it launches, oh, it's going to be fantastic. As well as we're going to be going abroad for the first time. Gold Squadron Podcast worldwide will be in Poland for the European Championships and in Australia for the first ever premier event that's happening in Australia. Both of those are happening later in the year and should be absolutely fantastic. And I have to end this video with a huge thank you to everybody, every single person who has committed their hard-earned money to helping Gold Squadron Podcast. None of this is possible without you guys. And I have tried to do my best to take the money, be a good steward of what you've given me, and put it back into what we've done. That's how I'm able to travel to all these places, get the equipment that I have, buy the supplies, ship out the swag, commission the art. Just everything has been put back in so that we can make sure that we bring you the best possible. And every single one of our patrons, you guys are number one supporters. You know, without you guys, none of this was possible. You know, I started, we started Patreon a couple years ago now. And I remember that feeling when the first person became a patron. His name is Curtis. He's still a patron from number one. He's still number one. When the first person pressed that button on Patreon and I got the notification in my email that somebody had become a patron, it was a feeling of both excitement that somebody wanted to support, but also I was really nervous because now I had the pressure that I had to make sure that I was producing. And really over this year, if you look back at Gold Squadron Podcast, even just our live stream, you know, replays from January, and you look at what happened at the Philadelphia System Open, they look completely different. I have just been working to making sure that it looks the best possible for you guys. We're taking that quality and just always trying to push the envelope whenever we can. Thank you to everybody who has become a Twitch Prime subscriber or just a regular Twitch subscriber. You guys are awesome. And Twitch has been a really fun place to explore and create content for that, to reach out to you. Thank you to everybody who participates in the chat and spamming those gumboats. You guys are awesome. Thank you to our YouTube community, the people who have who also watch live there. A lot of people who can't watch on Twitch watch on YouTube, which that's why we started streaming to both. I have a lot of people who tell me, Dion, it's a bad idea. You're shifting your numbers. You're splitting it, and it hurts your, you know, visual numbers on a certain platform. I say, yeah, that might be true, but I want to make sure that people can see the content. That's what I care about. So that's why we go to both. Thank you to everybody who subscribed to our YouTube channel. We started it this year, and the goal was to get to 2,000 subscribers, and we're at 5,300, I think, is the last time I looked. So we're trying to, you know, for this year, I'm going to set some goals and kind of see where we can go from there, but super excited about that. And, you know, just there's a bunch of ways you could support the Gold Squadron Podcast. We're not going to worry about that right now. I just want to make sure that I express a huge thank you, guys, for 2018. It has been an amazing year for Gold Squadron, for X-Wing, for the community, and for everybody who I've met. You guys are all amazing, and I'm super glad to have met you. We're going to go ahead and end our video here with a Q&A with the people who are watching live. So, hello, live stream. We'll go ahead and get our chat up on the screen so you guys can see what was going on here. So Dr. Weston, do you need a Star Wars tie? I don't own a Star Wars tie. So yeah, I guess I do require a Star Wars tie. One of my friends, Omar, there, go get a tie. The tie I had to match his jacket just didn't look good, so I didn't wear it. There was a plan. Chips for Trett, you know, Trett, tomorrow night we'll talk about some chips. We got some things coming. Torah58666 asks, if you could add one ship to each faction for hyperspace, what would you pick? Ooh, that is a good one. Okay, let me go ahead. I'll pull up my squad builder just because, you know, I have a lot going on in my head right now. I don't always have this stuff committed to memory 100%. So we'll go ahead and take a look at our squad builder. We'll start with Rebels. Make sure to change this to hyperspace. There we go. So currently in hyperspace for the Rebels, we have a Y-Wing, the 1300, the T-65, and the U-Wing. So a chip chassis that I would like to see in hyperspace for the Rebels would, I mean, I think The easy answer is a B-Wing. B-Wing's got to be in there. That's a classic ship for the Rebels, and I would not be surprised if that is one of the next releases for Rebels. For the Empire, they currently have the TIE Advance X-1, the Reaper, TIE Fighter, and the Striker. The Interceptor, I think, is the next one that skirts in there. I think that's probably the right choice. The Interceptor, look at my list one more time. Interceptor is what I'd like to see in there. For Scum, currently they have the customized 1300, the Escape Craft, the Fang Fighter, the Fire Spray, and the Mining Guild TIE. There's so many options for Scum. You know, this might not be a popular answer, but I mean, I think the obvious one is probably they end up adding the Y-Wing. No, I said the Y-Wing is in there already, right? No, that's for Rebels. Yeah, I think the Y-Wing is probably the easy one to add. But I'd like to see them get the M3A in there and get the points low enough where it actually has that temptation to play. I think right now, even still, the chassis is not very good unless you can have a lot of them. So I want to see the M3A get a chance to do something. And, you know, Resistance and First Order, we have those already, so we don't have to worry about that. Darth Dunn, congrats on the success of Gold Squadron Podcast. Can't wait to meet you in Australia. Yeah, man, I'm super excited. Super excited. Krill 96, YouTube was the only way I was able to watch Gold Squadron Podcast live when I was in India. Twitch just couldn't handle the low bandwidth. There you go. Absolutely. Does Mrs. Gold Squadron Podcast know you're live right now? Yes. Yes, she does. Yes, she does. And that's why this is going to be, where the plan is to cut off at 10:30 my time. So that should be fun. If you say gum, they're not gumbo. They're Star Wing, Alpha Class Star Wings. Tux. No, I don't, the quad jumper, I just doesn't fit into the hyperspace, at least not right away. Obviously, eventually everything gets into the hyperspace, but not right now, not right away. How do you feel about balancing only happening every 6 months? Well, for me, there's two sides to it, right? Like if they update too often, they don't have enough data to really go off of. But if they take too long, like the question we'll have to see is over time is 6 months too long? Does the idea of letting it get stale and then refresh it the right strategy, or should we be proactive and, you know, try to change things right away? But of course, if you're changing, let's say, quarterly, again, did you have enough data to actually make those changes? And then, you know, you do some big oopsident and make some kind of crazy point change. So I'm going to wait for a few more minutes. Any more questions? Open Q&A. What ships do you think FFG hasn't done yet that should be in the game? That's a good question. So, gotta put on my Star Wars fan hat. I mean, there's a lot of, let's talk about Rebels. There's a lot of things in the Rebellion already. I'm curious to see where they where they go with Rebels and Empire and Scum. Like, I think Scum, you have a lot of options. There's a lot of weird ships out there and a lot of the extended universe stuff. But for Rebels and Empire, they've released a ton of stuff. They're really, like, when they... if they're not getting new content from Lucasfilm from the Galactic Civil War era, they're going to have to be digging really deep into some of those extended universe books in order to pull out some ships. But right now we know that the Resistance, the First Order, and the upcoming Clone Wars, in order to have like a really balanced hyperspace where everything can be legal in the hyperspace, we need to have the same number of ships for those factions as we do for the Rebels, Empire, and Scum. Like, I have a shelf here, which is where all my X-Wing items are, and like my Imperial fleet, the nice big chunk of the shelf, same thing for Rebels, same thing for Scum, and I got First Order, and it's just like, shh. And the Resistance is also super small. So I think, honestly, I wonder if we're going to even get anything except re-releases from the Galactic Civil War era until those other factions, you know, get boosted. I know for people who are big fans of that era, that probably doesn't sound super fun, not getting new stuff. But I think that in order to really get the game balanced so that you have seven equal factions, we're going to have to really take our resources and bolster that the new four factions. Let's see. What do you think the Resistance, this is from Krill 96, what do you think the Resistance ship / upgrade with Calculate will be to make C-3PO useful? That's a great question. I have no idea. I have no idea. You know, I've been kind of thinking through the Resistance timeline. I've listened to, I don't have time to physically read with the amount of just stuff I'm doing. I'm always audiobooks. Along with my podcast, I kind of flip back and forth throughout the year. But I've listened to all the new canon books that have existed. And for the Resistance, I have yet to find, I can't think of a droid pilot or ship that exists in the Resistance First Order era. Maybe it ends up being different type of crew that you can put on. So let's say you could have BB-8 crew, and that gives you a Calculate action onto your bar. Then you could start doing some stuff with that C-3PO. Especially that in Resistance, in the first movie, The Force Awakens, you see a lot of droids. The Resistance has tons of droids, though I guess they do get blown up in The Last Jedi. But I guess we're going back to The Force Awakens. They had a bunch of different types of droids that maybe if you can get those onto your ship, you have a Calculate action, and maybe that's how we get C-3PO to be useful. I love this comment here. BB-8 piloting an AT-ST piloting an Upsilon. Yes. Absolutely. Tret asking, you think they'll do the T-85 and First Order interceptors now for them being on Star Wars Resistance? I hope so. I think it makes sense. I mean, we saw them in the show. The FFG has the resources now from Lucasfilm to ask about, you know, what can these ships do? They've been on the screen already. No spoilers. What do they do? I know when I saw the Red Interceptor, I was like, oh, that's really cool. That looks really cool. So yeah, I think those are naturally some of the next ships that will be coming for the Resistance. There was also that transport ship that we saw. Actually, both the First Order and the Resistance have a transport-like ship that we see in The Force Awakens. In The Force Awakens, there's the stormtrooper ship that lands with Finn in the opening, and then you also have the that sideways. It kind of looked like a B-wing sideways, but it said that it's made from B-wing parts in one of the visual guides that we see Leia come out of after all the stuff goes down on Takodana. So those are some other ships that we might see for the Resistance and the First Order as well. Could they add the pirate ships from the show to Scum? Yeah, I mean, they have kind of like chopped together ships. Some of them kind of look like uglies, if you're familiar with that term, where you got like different ships and you just kind of smash them together. You know, one person I'd like to see in the game, I don't know where they would end up fitting. It's probably in Scum because she's in a weird spot. But Dr. Aphra, I'd like to see her in the game. She's a super cool character. If you're not familiar with her, she's actually the owner, kind of owner, of 000 and BT-1. If you're not familiar with any of the lore, maybe you know those cards. She's a really interesting character. She has a cool ship. It would probably be a large base or a medium base ship, kind of similarly shaped to the Fire Spray. I can't think of the name of the ship off the top of my head, but it looks super cool. And Thrawn. I see somebody asking for Thrawn. Yeah, I mean, we probably end up, I doubt we get a Thrawn pilot, but we probably get a Thrawn crew. I don't see why we can't. If we have, like, my thought is here, if we can have Emperor Palpatine, who was in charge of, you know, the entire Galactic Empire, and we have, like, Moff Tarkin, who's in charge of the Death Star, why not have somebody like Thrawn? Like, I've heard the argument of people say, like, well, he, you know, he's on a capital ship, why would you, I mean, that argument doesn't really work, right? Thrawn, give me my Thrawn crew, please. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I think I think we'll end there. Krill 96 gives a great point there. Some people are still sore about K2SO. I am too. Where my K2? But you know what though? With the, I don't know if you guys have heard, there's an announcement for a Cassian Andor like mini series for the Disney streaming service. I'm super pumped about that. I love Cassian. I love Cassian. Super cool character. And we're probably going to be getting K2SO. There's no reason for us not to have him in that show, or at least make some appearances. And from there, it's a good opportunity to probably get some. There's some Galactic Civil War ships. We're wondering where we're going to get some. That might be a spot where we get some Galactic Civil War ships. And then also, K2SO pilot and crew. Come on, FFG. Give me K2SO. So thank you everybody so much for joining us. I hope you had a wonderful 2018, and 2019 I hope is just as awesome and exciting. Of course, we won't have the release of X-Wing 2.0. that was probably the biggest highlight of 2018, but you know, the best thing about this community are the people. So if you've never been to a major X-Wing event, go take a risk. Even if you don't think you're the best player, you know, the people are the best thing about X-Wing. Talk to each other. If I'm at the event, come talk to me. Trust me, I'm just a normal dude. I like talking. Unless I'm like under a table taping wires, probably like give me a minute and then and then we can chat. So again, love you all. My name's Dion Morales. Stay safe today. Gold Squadron